There was a beautiful dawn this morning. At every dawn, the Catholic Church prays in the continuation of the Gospel of the Mass about St. John the Baptist, the canticle of his father, Zachary. Thou, child, shalt be called prophet of the Most High. Thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, through the heart, the tender mercies of our God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last Sunday, with our splendid Corpus Christi observance, the Mass, the First Communions, and the procession, we concluded, as is our tradition at St. Gertrude, our season. And yet, the Catholic Church is not yet ready to go off on vacation. The summer feast days are blooming like those beautiful lilies you see in the cloister courtyard as you drive into church this morning. Thursday of this week is St. Peter and Paul, the anniversary of the ordination of many of the priests who serve you. Pray for them. Saturday, we have the first Saturday Mass. It's disconnected from First Friday, but don't miss it. And Our Lady's request for that communion of reparation, two Masses for your convenience, as well as the traditional rosary in between. And next Sunday, why, it's that gracious feast of Our Lady's Visitation. Just Friday was the Feast of the Sacred Heart, and today we are remembering his dear friend, cousin, and forerunner, John the Baptist. That boy, born without original sin, who prepared the way of the Lord. We meet him in Advent each year, and the servers, as well as the celebrant of the Mass, speak to him twice at every Mass in your name, as they confess their sins, Beati Ioanni Baptiste, to Blessed John the Baptist. Now you know that it is chiefly through the Mass, after the Mass, the Divine Office, after the Divine Office, the devotions, and greatest of these is the Most Holy Rosary, it is chiefly through the Mass that the Church celebrates her feast days. But do you know this? It is as well chiefly through the Mass that the Sacred Heart receives sinners and eats with them. He gives them a treasured place in his heart. Oh, we reserve a special place, as we noted last Sunday, for the little ones, the innocent, at the communion rail. But we, the guilty, we must go there too. Realize that it is most of all at Mass that our Lord goes out looking for sinners, like that lady who lights up her lamp and is looking for one lost coin, like the shepherd who says to the 99 sheep, "Now you be good and stay put. I'm just going to run off after that one that's lost." That's what our Lord does. He doesn't stay in the sanctuary. By means of Mass, out he goes. But he doesn't go to the sacrifice alone. Today, at the end of our season and the start of summer, I want to talk about those who take the role of John the Baptist at every Mass, at Tu Puer, that boy, that man who sometimes, quite literally, goes before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways for the tender mercies, the heart of our God, are going to visit us from on high at every Mass. This John the Baptist-like figure sometimes is a volunteer, and sometimes he is volunteered, he's drafted, but he's always chosen by God for a very great grace. Here's a typical story. It took place before the changes. There were so many boys in our Catholic grade schools, and there were so many priests, that the way it was generally done is that the young assistant pastor, newly ordained, would visit the classroom, maybe a fourth or fifth grade, and he would ask for a show of hands, what boy wants to volunteer to help me on the altar on Sundays and weekdays to serve Mass? And in this story, the boy's name is Jimmy Brown. I believe it is a true story. He shoots up his hand. This would have been probably during the time of the Depression or shortly thereafter. He always wanted to be an altar boy. His dad and his Uncle Joe had been before him. He learned his religion, and part of that, he learned how much our Lord loves those who help his priests perform the Mass, which is the greatest function of the priesthood. And he learned, too, that our Lord showers blessings during the whole lifetime of those who serve at the altar. And Jimmy, this boy, he wondered sometimes as a little boy what it would be like to put on the cassock and the surplice and to be so close to God at the altar. And now is his chance, so he shoots up his hand, he volunteers. Of course, he has to learn his Latin and the movements. When you're little, it's easy to memorize, but even when you're older, if you have motivation, it comes. And back then, of course, it was the priest through the classroom who would show the boys when to stand and kneel and where to go to ring the bell or move the book and what to kiss and so forth. Jimmy especially loved the idea of ringing the bells. That's what gets our altar boys sometimes, or else they're little firebugs, and they love the idea of the thurible and lighting up the charcoal. I remember when I was a server, I came across, after serving my first 6:30 Mass, a neighbor who very kindly complimented me and said, "Danny, you rang the bells good and loud this morning." The boys often like to do that. Now, when Jimmy had learned everything and passed his test, the priest, Father Walsh, said to him, "I've got another question or two for you." But he had already passed his Latin test, and the movements were pretty good. "What is the Mass, Jimmy? What is the Mass?" He learned his catechism at a good Catholic school. He knew the answer. "The Mass is the sacrifice of the new law in which Christ, through the priest, offers himself to God in an unbloody manner under the appearance of bread and wine." "Right," Father says. "Now, what does that all mean?" Well, he explained that the Mass is the same as the sacrifice of Good Friday, and every time it is said, Christ offers himself to God the Father for our sins. "Now, I want to know this too, Jimmy. Is there any difference between the Mass and Calvary?" "Yes, Father," he responded right away. He knew this one. "The difference is the manner in which our Lord offers himself. In the sacrifice of the Mass, he offers himself in a bloody manner, in an unbloody manner, whereas at Calvary, he offered himself first in a bloody manner. At Mass, he offers himself under the appearance of bread and of wine." "Very good, Jimmy. I asked you these extra questions because I never want you to forget your whole life long. When Father lifts up that white host or the golden chalice, he is offering our Lord a sacrifice for our sins and the sins of all the world. And don't forget, offer yourself up with him. And now, son, he said, you're ready to serve. But there is more. In every Mass, our Lord, through the priest, with the help of the altar boy, goes out beyond the rails. Where does he go? He goes all around the world looking for sinners to help them. The first hermit of Egypt, St. Paul, first hermit, once at Mass saw a man come into church with his face all disfigured, and he had a devil on either side of him who were jerking him around by chains back and forth. But at the reading of the epistle, he received a grace from the Mass to convert, to leave his sins. And St. Paul, the first hermit, saw him leaving church with a bright, shining countenance, accompanied by his guardian angel. And he said to the other monks of Egypt, he said, how great is the mercy of God. He bestows the grace of conversion upon sinners in the holy sacrifice of the Mass and receives them again into his sacred embrace. This is a sacrifice of propitiation. That Latin word, remember, means to make up for or to atone for. In this sacrifice, you see the eagerness of God's Son, the Sacred Heart, to save sinners. This eagerness made him come down from heaven and makes him leave the altar and go out into all the world to say, return, ye transgressors, to the heart. Come back to my heart. Enter into your own. Think it through what I have done for thee, the love I have borne thee. Offend me no more. Our Lord tells sinners, I'm the shepherd, you're the sheep, you've wandered, but here I am. I've caught you now. I'm not going to smack you. I'm not going to scream at you. I'm going to pick you up and put you here on my shoulder and carry you home. Thus it is that at every Mass, the Agnus Dei, God's own lamb, is also the shepherd to go after the straying sheep. All of the sins of a lifetime, the Curé of Ars said this, are like one grain of sand next to the mountain, which is God's mercy. Fear not, truly, fear not. Zachary continued in his canticle, the Benedictus, so that without fear, delivered from the hands of our enemies, we might serve him. Servers, God bless you for serving him, the good shepherd, as he goes to look for sheep that have wandered. All of you can get in on this action, though. How? Come to Mass. Come on feast days, special occasions, but just come when you need a special grace from God. How? Assist at Mass very devoutly. Pray again and again by name. Perhaps you got the names on a holy card. For all of those to whom you want the Good Shepherd to go with God's mercy and have Masses offered for them. Now back to Jimmy's story. You know, one of the advantages of being a server is once you've learned, you'll never forget, and no matter where you go in all the world, you'll be able to serve Mass. Those boys who are on the altar this morning, if they go to South America or South Africa, if they go to France or to Iran or Iraq, makes no difference. They would be able to assist a priest to serve Mass for the rest of their life. Jimmy grew up. World War II came. And this time he was drafted. He was drafted into the army. We're at war now. And some of our boys need to be drafted, and some of our men need to be volunteered into this army. Parents, adults, consider it an honor and a duty to assist the priest. Jimmy's great moment came with an unusual meeting. It was D-Day, World War II at its summit, preparing to land on the beach of Normandy. And Jimmy, now a soldier, was on one of those big barges that was full of soldiers. And there happened to be on that ship a Catholic chaplain who had permission to offer Mass for the boys just before the landing. So he went out and he said, "Men, any of you know how to serve Mass?" And Jimmy, sure enough, he raised his hand right away. He said, "I know how to serve Mass, Father." He pushed his way up to the front of the crowd of soldiers. And who did he see vested at the altar? Father Walsh, the old friend of his who had taught him how to serve Mass when he was just a boy. And how proud he was to kneel there. The ship was kind of going like this, and like he steadied the altar, and he assisted Father all the way through the Mass. They reached the beach. The Mass was over. The troops disembarked. Some of them went on to die, and some were wounded, and some survived to tell the tale. And Jimmy Brown, as it happened, saved about 10 soldiers by his own valiant effort, and he captured an enemy machine gun nest single-handedly, and he was awarded a medal by the president after the war. But the proudest day, he would say, in his life was not going to the White House. The proudest day in Jimmy's life was the day that he served Mass on that boat just before the invasion. On that rocking ship, he served for Father Walsh and for Jesus Christ. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.